The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
I want to thank everybody for the tremendous support you've shown. We're going to take back the Senate, take back the House. We're going to take back the White House. And sooner than you think, it's going to be really something special.
There's Donald Trump from Friday getting quite a few of his supporters excited. The statement there about taking back the White House. Sooner than you think. He was pretty active over the weekend. We've got some sound bites from his address to a CPAC-type function in North Carolina. That went on Saturday night, and quite a few of those clips were making the rounds on social media on Sunday. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We come to you every day live. Of course, now we've got the Trumpet Daily Weekend Edition that's posted at our website, thetrumpet.com, every Sunday. But for the live stream, you can either go to our website to get the video. That's at thetrumpet.com/live every day, Central Time here in Oklahoma or the middle part of the U.S., 11 a.m. It's 12 noon on the East Coast and 9 a.m. out west, and at a lot of different times all over the world. The audio, of course, goes out on CRN Digital Talk Radio, so we're happy to be partnering with them as they allow for this broadcast to get into millions of homes in other ways than just our website over the internet. I spoke of the weekend edition. We're broadcasting that over the air here in Edmond, Oklahoma, but also in Phoenix, Arizona, KFNX. And yesterday we had a bit of a tribute in the second half of the weekend edition program with respect to D-Day, the 77th anniversary of American boys, also Canadians and British, by the tens of thousands, storming the beaches of Normandy. I heard some clips over the weekend, moving speeches in years past. The famous address that Ronald Reagan gave back in 1984 at the 40-year anniversary. And then President Trump gave one of his best speeches at the 75-year anniversary just 3 years ago, two, 3 years ago, when he was speaking also there at Omaha Beach. I wonder if Joe Biden had anything to say or anything to tweet about D-Day. And according to Breitbart News, he didn't. Nothing. Not one thing, at least as of 6:30, 7 p.m. last night. The fake president of the United States says nothing, absolutely nothing, about D-Day. This is from, as I say, Breitbart. It says, President Joe Biden tweeted a video Sunday of his meeting last week with survivors of the Tulsa race massacre, but did not mention that June 6 was also the anniversary of D-Day, the U.S.-led invasion of Normandy in the Second World War. It says none of Biden's Twitter accounts, that's the Joe Biden account, the POTUS account, the White House account, none of them had commemorated D-Day as of 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time last night. But he made sure to tweet to remind his followers about the Tulsa address. We had a lot to say about that on last Wednesday's program. That's very important to him. That fits right in line with critical race theory, that whites all across the United States are inherently racist. I was driving around the other day and heard, it was one of the Tulsa radio stations. We can get signals from some of the Tulsa stations, even though it's 80 or 90 miles up the road. But the local report there was saying how that they were exhuming bones in certain graveyards just to try to find out how many victims there were in this Tulsa massacre. Look at what they're willing to do. Look at what they're willing to dig up. We can't even get a proper examination of some of the counts from November 3rd. the presidential election. And yet they're literally digging up bones to try to find out how many victims there were. It's so important. It's so important for Joe Biden that he's tweeting out reminders. Of course, he was there in Tulsa giving the address at the 100-year anniversary. What a difference when you compare this illegitimate presidency with President Trump, with Ronald Reagan, and what those men were saying on the anniversary of D-Day. Listen to Donald Trump. This is not from a D-Day address. This is from what he was saying Saturday night at that rally in North Carolina. This is clip 9.
And speaking of our leaders, they're bowing down to China. America's being demeaned and humiliated on the world stage. Our freedom is being overtaken by left-wing cancel culture. And the Biden administration is pushing toxic critical race theory and illegal discrimination into our children's schools. Now you tell me, we take this? Joe Biden and the Socialist Democrats are the most radical left-wing administration in history. Even Bernie Sanders can't believe it.
Even Bernie Sanders must be shocked. The most radical left-wing administration in U.S. history. And he's completely right about that. Here they are bowing down to China. And we continue to receive more and more detail about the attack on the world, the Western world, the United States in particular. I'll come more to this in just a moment. But first, this Wuhan lab, where it all started. It says, damning science strongly suggests that COVID-19 is a man-made monster optimized in a lab for maximum infectivity before hitting the outside to catastrophic effect, according to two experts. They're writing in the Wall Street Journal just yesterday. It's all about the science, right? Here are two scientists. And they go into some of the scientific detail. I won't bog down into much of that. But instead, just give you an overview here from these two who pointed to two key pieces of evidence to support the claim, which has increasingly gained steam after long being derided as little more than speculation. I mean, that's putting it nicely. You couldn't even talk about it on Facebook up until last week. You couldn't even bring it up. You could not bring up the fact that it originated in the Wuhan lab. Otherwise, you were canceled, just like President Trump said there. If you go against the radical left, if you go against this American Communist Party, you'll be blotted out. Fox News here, it says, the first relates to the nature of gain-of-function research in which microbiologists tweak a virus's genome to alter its properties, such as making it more transmissible and more lethal. So there they were, working away in the Wuhan lab, trying to make this virus more lethal and more transmissible. And sure enough, the first people to contract the virus came right out of that Wuhan lab. And how do you know something nefarious was going on here? There are still those that would say it was an accident that it leaked out. But look at how the CCP managed the accident. They immediately shut off travel between Wuhan and other provinces in China, even as they allowed and encouraged travel from Wuhan to the West. And so here were all these sick people in China traveling into northern Italy, traveling into Western Europe, traveling into even the United States until President Trump put a stop to that. So why would China, why would the Communist Chinese Party put travel restrictions up in their own nation and yet allow international travel here at the very early stages of what would become known as the coronavirus pandemic? It all started in Wuhan. It all started in this lab. just like many other pandemics before it. And as we now know, Dr. Anthony Fauci and his people working right alongside the people in Wuhan, funding even this gain-of-function research. Here's what Donald Trump had to say about what the propaganda media is finally coming around to admit. Clip two.
The media, the Democrats, and the so-called experts are now finally admitting what I first said 13 months ago. The evidence demonstrates that the virus originated in a Chinese government lab. Couldn't say it. You couldn't say it. And Dr. Fauci, who I actually got along with, he's a nice guy. He's a great promoter, you know? Not a great doctor, but he's a hell of a promoter. He likes television more than any politician in this room. And they like television. But he's been wrong on almost every issue. And he was wrong on Wuhan and the lab also. Very wrong.
Yeah, he's been wrong on everything. President Trump pointing out the obvious in a rather humorous way. But he's right. He's right. The man loves the TV cameras, Fauci. And he was wrong about everything. He's a good self-promoter. He likes to promote himself. He likes to promote his image. He loves to go on the covers of glamorous magazines. And he's been wrong about everything, including about China. Well, we did provide the funding, but no, we trusted their scientists. Well, how could you be sure? Well, I guess now that you say it, I guess we can't know for sure that they weren't doing gain of function. Now you see the truth is coming out and they're there saying, well, how could we know? We didn't know everything that was going on. They're pleading ignorance now. These famous scientists that know so much, and now they claim to not know so much about, at least not about what was happening in the Wuhan lab. Here again is President Trump from Saturday night, clip 11.
But Fauci has perhaps never been more wrong than when he denied the virus and where it came from. The time has come for America and the world to demand reparations and accountability from the Communist Party of China. We should all declare within one unified voice that China must pay. They must pay. The United States should immediately take steps to phase in a firm 100% tariff on all goods made in China.
Wow. You heard the applause. He's got quite a lot of support coming from Republicans. And then there at the end, suggesting a 100% tariff, a tariff on all the goods coming in from China. And there's a lot of goods coming from China. Just about everything in your living room is probably made in China. And so here it's been going on for decades, through the 90s, through the 2000s, on through, all the way through the Obama administration. And then comes Donald Trump in 2017, and he doesn't want free trade. He wants fair trade. And he wants to put America first. And he wants to bring manufacturing back to the United States, something that Obama and others before him said, it's impossible. It'll never happen. And Donald Trump comes in and starts doing it. Do you suppose for a moment, as we narrow in here on the attack, and COVID-19 was part of it, do you suppose the CCP is happy that Donald Trump is out of the White House? How excited are they knowing that Donald Trump lost in a rigged election? And who else, who do you suppose, also was passionately opposed to a second term for Donald Trump? So much so that they were willing to do anything to get him out. Well, that would be the communists in this nation, the radical leftist Democrat Party, even Bernie Sanders, must be shocked. As Donald Trump said on Saturday night, we've referred you to this article that my father wrote in August of last year. This is in the Trumpet magazine. If you aren't a Trumpet subscriber, call our operators today, 1-866-930-3024. That's a toll-free number in the United States and Canada. 866-930-3024. And subscribe. Subscribe to the Trumpet magazine. Tomorrow's news today. And you go back and look at that August issue. Almost a year ago, my father was writing in that issue about the China virus, how that the United States had withdrawn funding to China in 2014 due to fears over the controversial and some would say very dangerous experiments, gain of function, being done on viruses there in Wuhan and other places like that in China. And he referred to that 2014. This was during the Obama years. Obama comes out, his White House comes out with a statement saying, look, we're going to end the gain-of-function research. There was, however, a footnote there saying that except in certain circumstances. And so, I mean, the fact is that the gain-of-function research, it continued even in those in-between years on into the beginning of the Trump presidency as well. So go back and look at that August 2020 piece. But I just want to refer you now to an article at the Conservative Treehouse. This was over the weekend, and it talks about something that was happening just before Obama left office. So there was the statement in 2014 saying that, look, we've got to stop with this dangerous experimentation, this development of bioweapons, basically. We've got to stop with that. And then look at what happens just 11 days before Obama left office. This is in January of 2017. Those of you that have been viewing the program for a number of years, you know about what we've said, what we've exposed regarding that transition period, that the attacks, what Obama was setting up so that he could go after Donald Trump. In every respect, it says here, 11 days before leaving office, President Obama's administration reauthorized funding for the creation of biological weapons using SARS viruses. However, essentially, this reauthorization was only kickstarting funding within the U.S. because the funding of weaponization of SARS-CoV-2 never actually stopped in 2014. So Conservative Treehouse is talking about the little footnote there in that 2014 order. In any event, it talks about the order from January of 2017. This is January 9, 2017, as the Treehouse brings out, 11 days before Obama leaves office. And the statement from the White House said, lifting the current moratorium on certain life sciences research that could enhance a pathogen's virulence and or transmissibility to produce a potential pandemic pathogen. So we're going to go ahead and allow for the funding of this gain-of-function research, said Obama. Said Obama just 11 days before leaving office. So if you look back at the timeline, October 2014, that's when the Obama people says, look, that gain-of-function stuff, it needs to be stopped. And then right before he left office, he says the gain of function can and should continue. Oh, yes. So Fauci, there was Fauci. He had worked with five or so presidential administrations working behind the scenes to fund that sort of research in North Carolina. And then the North Carolina branch was funding Wuhan. You know about all this detail. We've covered it on this show before. The Obama administration, this is from Conservative Treehouse, reauthorizes funding for the creation of SARS biological weapons. It says, adoption of these recommendations will satisfy the requirements for lifting the current moratorium on certain life sciences. And then it goes on to give you what I just quoted a moment ago. Pretty amazing. And then when you think about what Dr. Fauci, who's been exposed as a fraud, then when you think about Obama makes this announcement on on January the 9th. And then just days later, Anthony Fauci says this at a conference in at Georgetown. This is clip four.
As you heard from the introduction, that I have been around for a while and have had the opportunity and the privilege and the pleasure of serving in five administrations, I thought I would bring that perspective to the topic today, is the issue of pandemic preparedness. And if there's one message that I want to leave with you today based on my experience, and you'll see that in a moment, is that there is no question that there will be a challenge the coming administration in the arena of infectious diseases, both chronic infectious diseases in the sense of already ongoing disease, and we have certainly a large burden of that, but also there will be a surprise outbreak.
There will be a surprise outbreak. Now, that video there says that was January 12th, 2017. The USA Today reported that that conference was on January the 10th, 2017. The White House statement coming from Obama was January 9th, 2017. So Obama comes out and announces, yeah, the gain of function, that can resume now. I mean, we've got a new administration coming in. So let's get back into that bioweapons technology. And then Dr. Fauci, for his part, comes out a day later, perhaps. One to three days later. And he says, there will be a surprise outbreak. How did he know? How did he know that there'd be a surprise outbreak in this administration, the one coming in, the Trump administration? Well, that's an interesting question. It's like the conservative treehouse says, it's an interesting time frame, isn't it? And in particular, when you consider what was happening following the incredible victory Donald Trump experienced in November of 2016 and the so-called peaceful transition of power that Obama kept talking about but wasn't actually doing. Oh, the attacks. He was on the attack. He was unleashing the investigation into Russian meddling. He had John Brennan and all of those deep state actors. He had them hard at work to not only prove that Russia meddled, but that they cheated together with Trump people to enable Donald Trump to win in the election. Do you realize that the same people today who are saying you cannot even talk about an election steal from 2020, were doing nothing else but talking about how the 2016 election was rigged? And they still maintain it. So many of them, even after all of this Russian conspiracy hoax has been fully exposed as exactly that, a hoax, many of them still believe it. So there's Dr. Fauci not only talking about a surprise pandemic, a surprise outbreak, as he put it, but then he's also explaining in that same Georgetown conference about how that you go about fighting against this sort of thing. And he talked about building this coalition with all these international actors. You got to go to all of these global organizations, which is of course what he did and how he justifies working with Wuhan, the CCP. Well, we had to do that because that's where the bats are, right? So we got to go where the bats are to try to figure out how to fight these viruses, even as they were working with the viruses to make them more lethal and more transmissible. Can you believe, you cannot make this up. This is, again, Dr. Fauci from 2017, clip five.
What are the lessons that we learned from HIV? One, you have to commit substantial financial and human resources. You have to involve the community, be it the gay community in the United States or the community in Africa and West Africa when we dealt with Ebola, or the people in South America when we're dealing with Zika. You have to have cross-sector collaboration. You can't do it alone. The CDC can't do it alone. The NIH can't do it alone. You do it with all of us, with industry, with global organizations, with philanthropy and NGOs, and you gotta get the leaders and the policymakers involved.
Yeah, including Xi Jinping. You gotta get him involved as well. You gotta get the CCP involved. You got to go where the bats are. That's Fauci, 2017. There will be, during the Trump administration, there will be a surprise outbreak. That was 2017. This tweet from Joe Biden, candidate Biden, this goes back to 2019, October 25th. And Joe Biden says, "We are not prepared for a pandemic. Trump has rolled back progress President Obama and I made to strengthen global health security. We need leadership that builds public trust, focuses on real threats, and mobilizes the world to stop outbreaks before they reach our shores." That's Joe Biden tweeting about we're not ready for a pandemic about 2 months before those people in the Wuhan lab got sick. That's amazing. What a coincidence that Fauci would know. That Fauci would know there's a disease outbreak coming, and this is how we're going to work with it. This is how we'll fight against it. And then you got Joe Biden, just before he retired to the basement, coming out with this astounding prediction, basically. It's pretty amazing how much they... Doesn't it remind you of how I've noted over the months, the past several months, particularly since November 3rd, how that a lot of times they can't help themselves. They say the silent part out loud. What was it that Joe Biden said about the election? He said it in October of 2020, before the November 3rd election. And he's on that video call and so on. I think it's clip 8, fellas, if you can play that for me. The most extensive voter fraud organization in history.
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
Wow, and they certainly did. And you know what else? I'm just helping you connect the dots here. They could not have put together the most extensive voter fraud organization in the history of politics without COVID-19. They couldn't have done it. So maybe you're saying there's no smoking gun here. But one thing we know for sure, and just judging by the CCP's reaction when they discovered the virus, they shut down travel from Wuhan to other provinces, but they left it wide open to Italy, to Europe, to the United States. That's an attack, my friends. That is an attack. And who else benefited from this attack? Well, that would be the radical Democrats, the radical Marxists in the Democrat Party. Anything and everything to take down their political opponent. Listen to my father. This is from the Key of David, May 11th, 2018, clip 13.
But there was a meeting, and again, many people believe this and think they can prove it. And on January 5th, just before Mr. Trump was inaugurated, there was a group of the top echelon of the last administration plotting how they could overthrow the presidency of Mr. Donald Trump. Now, that there is a lot of evidence to support that, I think.
And there is. January 5th, they were plotting. Remember, it was Obama, Barack Obama, who ordered the investigation into Russian meddling. All this that was happening in December and January 2016, 2017, the transition period, the takedown of General Flynn, who would have exposed a lot of their nefarious activity, who would have exposed how that they were using the intel community to target political opponents. They've got to take him out. They were hard at work January 5, January 6, then January 10 with the help of CNN to plant the dirty dossier story. That was an attack. There was no truth to it, but that was used to attack Donald Trump and to trigger this years-long, tens of millions of dollars in cost investigation into Donald Trump. All this going on during that transition period. What about the announcement in January? Just, again, days before Obama left office, he announced, and it was just quietly reported in the New York Times and the Washington Post, that he had expanded surveillance powers at the NSA and other intel groups. He's on the way out. Why would he make it easier for the deep state to spy on Americans, even as he's about to head for the exit? Well, you add to all of this, all of these interesting dates falling within this fascinating time frame, the fact that the Obama White House on January 9th, 2017, announces that the United States could resume this dangerous bioweapons research, gain of function. It's an interesting time period. The meeting, as my father alluded to there in the Key of David program, January 5th, you had Obama and Biden. Joe Biden was in there. Don't forget about that. He was in there with Clapper and Brennan and Comey, all of these heads of the intelligence community, FBI, DOJ, and so on. This is from the New Yorker. The main purpose of the Oval Office meeting was to run through a startling report the U.S. intelligence chiefs were about to release to the public. They had to get in there and discuss the dirty dossier. How are we going to release this to the public? How are we going to give it credibility so that CNN, who knows it's bogus, will run with it? And so that's what they were plotting. That's what they were doing. This is from Andy McCarthy, a column of his on February 15th, 2018. He said, and he's talking about this critical transition period. He says, significantly, by the time of this January 6th meeting with Trump, the 90-day surveillance period under the FISA warrant, you know, FISA was going on all this time as well. Remember Carter Page and all that? It says the FISA warrant would have had just a bit over 2 weeks left to run. It was set to expire just as Trump was to take office. The Obama administration was therefore confronting a deadline if the FISA warrant was to be renewed while Obama was still in power. Andy McCarthy says the officials in the meeting would need to figure out how the investigation could continue despite the fact that its central focus, Trump, was about to be sworn in as president. So how are we supposed, you see Susan Rice there in that image. She's the one that emailed herself, remember, as she was leaving on January the 20th. Yeah, that meeting back in Jan 5, I mean, that Obama just told us to do everything by the book. They lied. They were trying to cover their tracks already. Even the day as they left the White House, January 20th, 2017, so there they were plotting. How can we keep the investigation into Trump going when he's president of the United States? How do we do this? Well, they had a pretty good plan. They had the dossier. They had CNN and all the others in the propaganda media there to trumpet all of that sleaze, all of those lies. And then they had Jim Comey working together with the New York Times and the deep state. Rod Rosenstein, all of that, anything and everything to trigger a special investigation. Then they got Mueller on board in the middle of the year, in the summer of 2017, and then that continued. And I mean, it didn't end there. It's like my father said, it was an attack from the beginning. How can we overthrow Donald Trump? How can we overthrow this bad orange man? Listen to James Clapper. This is back in July of 2018. You talk about saying some of the silent things out loud. Here's what he said on a phone interview. I think this was with CNN, clip six.
One point I'd like to make, Anderson, I don't think has come up very much before, and I'm alluding now to the president's criticism of President Obama for all that he did or didn't do before he left office with respect to the Russian meddling. If it weren't for President Obama, we might not have done the intelligence community assessment that we did that set off a whole sequence of events which are unfolding today, notably Special Counsel Mueller's investigation. President Obama is responsible for that, and it was he who tasked us to do that intelligence community assessment in the first place. I think that's an important point when it comes to critiquing President Obama.
It is important and quite revealing. There's Clapper proudly saying, if it wasn't for Obama, you know, we wouldn't have had this investigation into Russian meddling, which then led to the Mueller investigation. You go deep enough into it, and where do all of the tracks lead to? The fingerprints, the footprints. It takes you right back to Barack Obama. Even the gain-of-function research, it had stopped, theoretically, in 2014 because of Obama, and it resumed on January 9th, 2017. And Dr. Fauci then, the next day, says there's going to be a surprise outbreak. You might as well get ready for it. It's going to happen. What a coincidence. Connect all of the dots. Even as this was happening, I mentioned the Obama administration giving more latitude to the spy agencies in the United States. This is from the New York Times, January 12, 2017. It says, in its final days, the Obama administration has expanded the power of the NSA to share globally intercepted personal communications with the government's 16 other intelligence agencies before applying privacy protections. So if you get it in one department, it can spread to 16 other agencies before we even sit down to talk about privacy. Is this an invasion of privacy at all? Never mind. They got to be able to spy, these agencies. And Obama made it easier for them to do this. The New York Times was there proudly saying, yeah, look at all these changes. And you remember all of the coverage in this time period as well. You would see wiretapping in some of the headlines. Again, they couldn't help themselves. Yeah, they're being wiretapped, the Trump people. And then Donald Trump finally calls them on that in March, I believe, of 2017. And the media, the propaganda media, just erupted. They couldn't believe it. How can you say that the Obama people, the deep state, would spy on Donald Trump? And of course, now we know. Now we know all the details of the spying that went on for years. They'll do anything to grab hold of power and to maintain their grip on power. Listen to, again, Evelyn Farkas. She's an Obama spokesperson. This is a couple months after Obama left the White House. And here again, she's caught. Some of you will remember this clip from years ago. But here again, she's speaking on March 2nd, 2017. And she's caught saying, essentially, the silent part out loud, clip 7.
Well, I was urging my former colleagues and frankly speaking, the people on the Hill. Mm-hmm. It was more actually aimed at telling the Hill people, get as much information as you can, get as much intelligence as you can before President Obama leaves the administration, because I had a fear that somehow that information would disappear with the senior people who left. So it would be hidden away in the bureaucracy, that the Trump folks, if they found out how we knew what we knew about the Trump staff's dealing with Russians, that they would try to compromise those sources and methods, meaning we would no longer have access to that intelligence. So I became very worried because not enough was coming out into the open, and I knew that there was more. We have very good intelligence on Russia. So then I had talked to some of my former colleagues, and I knew that they were trying to also help get information to the Hill.
A lot going on today.
Yeah.
Mark,
that's Alfred. Why you have the leaking.
Exactly.
People are worried.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why you had the leaking. See, the deep state, all these deep state actors. We were telling each other, look, gather as much dirt as you can on Donald Trump, because he's coming into power, and we've got to be able to spread. Well, Obama made it easy for them to spread it throughout the intel agencies, all 16 of them, because we're doing everything that we can to overthrow the incoming administration. But she's admitting it there right on TV. Unbelievable. Gather as much as you can. Spread it as far and wide as it will go. And then use it against him. Use Russia, Russia, Russia. And they did. They certainly did. And some of them still still saying those same things. My father in Saving America from the Radical Left, he says Webster's Dictionary defines treason as the offense of attempting by overt acts to overthrow the government of the state. You don't have to know a lot about government to know that attempting to remove a lawfully elected president from office using unverified propaganda is treason of the highest level. Corrupt law enforcement officials led by Barack Obama and with the help of Hillary Clinton conspired to overthrow the government of the United States. And the question I have for you today is, how and when did they use the pandemic to take down, to overthrow the government of the United States? It's in their interest. It's certainly in the interest of the CCP. And you put this interesting time frame together, as the conservative treehouse did. Wow. Obama says, okay, gain of function can resume. And then a day or two later, here comes Anthony Fauci, clip 15.
There is no question that there will be a challenge to the coming administration in the arena of infectious diseases, but also there will be a surprise outbreak.
A challenge for the coming administration in which there will be a surprise outbreak. And wouldn't you know it, it happened. It happened. And first we were told it happened by nature, natural origins. Came from a bat soup. Somebody made some bat soup, caught the virus, and it spread from there. And now we know those bats are like 1,000 miles away from the Wuhan lab. Now we know it started from the Wuhan lab. Now we know it started as the gain-of-function research. What Barack Obama signed off on in 2017. It was going on right there in the Wuhan lab. And that's where this whole pandemic started. It's supposed to have killed 3.5 million people, I think. Well over a half million in the United States. Could this have really been used as a weapon? A weapon against the West, more broadly, but more specifically, against Donald Trump? Well, it certainly was used, at the very least, it was used as a pretext, wasn't it? To open the way for all of this mass mail-in balloting, which is right now being exposed in Arizona, the fraud, I mean, and soon in Georgia. They had a Georgia convention over the weekend. You had Vernon Jones, who's running against Governor Kemp. He gives this fiery speech. Everybody's cheering. Governor Kemp gets up, and he's booed off the stage. What does that tell you about what Georgians want? They don't want to just go away and act as if nothing happened. Nothing nefarious or evil or fraudulent happened on November 3rd. They want a full investigation, just like what's happening in Arizona. And there's a growing movement in Pennsylvania that wants the same thing. It's all connected, isn't it? It's connected to COVID because they couldn't have pulled it off without COVID. Pure and simple. No way. You were able to conveniently put Biden in the basement. You allowed for tens of millions of ballots to be mailed in, or in some cases, photocopied and then mailed in. All of these dead voters, all of these out-of-state voters, all of these underage voters. Massive, massive amounts of fraud. What could they actually use a disease that killed millions of people to target their political opponent, the man they hated, the man that was standing up to China, the man that wanted to put tariffs on Chinese goods coming into the United States, the man that wanted to bring back manufacturing jobs to the United States, the man that wanted to stand up to and expose the radical left for what it is? He said in an interview that this is his crowning achievement, to expose this evil. It's like a cancer, he said. It's destroying our nation. That's what he was saying on Saturday night. Listen to Donald Trump from the other night, clip 10.
the Biden administration seems to be putting America last. You look at these negotiations where so many bad things have happened. 48,000 jobs were lost by President Biden's day one rejection of the Keystone XL pipeline. Why? For what reason did they do that? And if you like the environment, the pipeline is much better than railroad tracks, and it's much better than trucking. It's great. And they ended it on just about day one, 48,000 jobs, not 8,000. They said 8,000. It's 48,000. Think of it. He rejected our pipeline, but he approved the Russian pipeline, which I had completely stopped, going into Germany and all parts of Europe.
That's Donald Trump from Saturday night. How do you explain it? You close down the Keystone pipeline, and then you allow for this pipeline that clearly Russia and Germany benefit from. That's no problem. No concerns there about the environment. But here in the United States, shut it down and eliminate 48,000 jobs in the process. How do you explain this? It's America last. It's America under attack. It's communist infiltration. That's how you explain it. My father wrote this in the New Throne of David book. God has used President Donald Trump as an end-time type of King Jeroboam II, who led the last revival of the Kingdom of Israel before it was destroyed and enslaved by the Assyrian Empire. He says enormously powerful forces have been trying to destroy Mr. Trump's presidency since before it even began. Yet, amazingly, the harder the deep state and other forces try to thwart this man, the more damage they do to themselves as their own maneuvers become exposed. See, even in the last week, even the last couple weeks, more and more being exposed about the Wuhan flu. Even as the harder they try to thwart this man, the more damage they do to themselves. In some cases, they can't help themselves, as I've said today. Or in other cases, the press, for whatever reason, finally comes around. Facebook finally allows for you to talk about the Wuhan lab theory. It's not a theory anymore, is it? It's obvious. It's obvious. And so now we're looking into intent. Was it an accident? Or was it released on the people of Wuhan and then the people of the West primarily? Well, at the very least, you know China was up to no good when it put travel restrictions on Wuhan residents going into other provinces in China, but certainly not Italy or Europe or the United States, Britain. These are nations with a lot of people that have a lot of comorbidities, where there's a lot of obesity. There's a lot of sickness, a lot of disease, a lot of people that COVID-19 could take out, causing a widespread panic, all the fear-mongering to go with it. Of course, the media, they were there hyping it and so on, and there's obviously gains to be gotten from this in the pharmaceutical industry. They love the vaccines. Oh, the vaccines are the solution. And those blue state governors, they love the authority. They love the authoritarian measures. They loved it down in states in Australia as well, imposing their will on all of the people. Shut it down. Lock it down. But above all, it was used as a pretext to steal the election of November 2020, because it could not have happened without that. It could not have happened without mail-in balloting, without no signature verification, nothing. Just the ballots show up and they've got to be counted, even if they're fraudulent. Those were the new rules passed behind closed doors, certainly not through the legislature in Georgia. It was planned. The plot happened behind closed doors. Stacey Abrams was running the state of Georgia last year. Not Governor Kemp, not Raffensperger, not Gabe Sterling. It was Stacey. Stacey, the one who still hasn't accepted the results of her own race in 2018. That was rigged. 2016 was rigged. Rig, 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 rig. But 2020, that was perfect. A perfect election. Nothing went wrong. No fraud to worry about here. My father wrote this. This is from November of last year. Treason in America and Britain. It says here, the situation in America and Britain is worse than most think. The people fighting the Trump administration are not just leftists, not just radical leftists, not just Marxist. They're inspired by the spirit of Satan. We're going to get into that on tomorrow's show. I had a little section on it from Isaiah 14 and other passages. The devil, we've studied some on this in previous programs. But the spirit of Satan, you see, irrespective of what this world leader or this political party might or might not be planning behind the scenes, you certainly know that this spirit was working behind the scenes. The spirit of blotting out Israel. Even the name of Israel. It says here, that is why the radical left is trying to destroy the Trump presidency through spying, through the Mueller investigation, through the Ukraine phone call impeachment, through the news media, through coronavirus politics, through the national debt, through violence in the cities, through any means possible. Any means possible to blot out the name of Israel, to destroy Donald Trump. They're trying to do it in the District of New York. Still trying to go after him for little technicalities, for little process crimes. They'll do it. They did it to Mike Flynn. Anything and everything goes. And so we're to expect that, well, when it comes to the election and when it comes to COVID-19, everything was perfect and above board. Well, look at what's being revealed about the election and now about the Wuhan flu. Any means possible, he said. My father wrote in the Saving America piece, something diabolical was going on until Mr. Trump was elected, and it's still going on behind the scenes, even during his presidency. And that was written back in 2018, and we could just add to it that it's still going on, even during the fake presidency here. Listen to Donald Trump one last soundbite from Saturday night. This is clip 12.
You don't have election integrity, and if you don't have strong borders, our country can be run like a dictatorship, and that's what they'd like to do. I don't even think Biden is the dictator. If anybody knows who the hell is running that operation, could you let us know? Because they want to silence you. They want to silence your voice. Remember, I am not the one trying to undermine American democracy. I'm the one that's trying to save it. Please remember that.
I'm the one that's trying to save it. And what does your Bible say about that Jeroboam type? God used him to save Israel, to save Israel by the hand of Jeroboam, it says there. And he'll use him again to recover what has been lost or stolen. That's what it says, and you know about the prophecy in Amos 7. I don't have time to get into that at the moment. But they want to, as he said in that clip, they want to do everything that they can to run the United States like a dictatorship, to change it to where you can cheat from here on out in any election so that they can do anything possible to stay in power. And were it not for God and his timely intervention, they would stay in power from here on out. Well, there's a lot more you could study into in America Under Attack and the Great Again book and so on. I mentioned the trumpet earlier. Don't forget our toll-free number, 866-930-3024. It's a free call in the United States, Canada, and the Caribbean. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Don't forget to submit some feedback, td@thetrumpet.com. That's our email address, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.